You're listening to the Oklahoma Math Podcast.
Greetings out there. This is Levi Patrick, and it is January 24th, a Friday, a beautiful Friday. We're finally warming up a little bit here in the city. And actually, today is a day that I'll be working with the OK Math and OK Sci Leadership Group. So that's incredibly exciting. We'll be down at the Quartz Mountain Resort in Lone Wolf, Oklahoma. And we're having a heck of a time, and I just want to let you know that we will soon have applications out for the very first class of OK Math, OK Sci Leadership coming up next year, because this class is our beta class where we've been testing out our ideas and finding out if they work, which we believe they have. So anyhow, if you're interested in that, please keep an eye out for it. We'd love to have those folks out there who are really wanting to engage in kind of a service and leadership role for our state to find us, and let's work together to create solutions for our state. So this week is a pretty simple roundup, really, because Monday we were in Pryor. Jennifer and I did our second REACH regional meeting, and we had a really wonderful time in Pryor. The teachers were fantastic. Pryor really has just a beautiful school, and they were so supportive and had everything well set up for us, and it was just fantastic. And the teachers asked tough questions, brought up really difficult things to talk about that that we know matter in education. And I really appreciate the folks in my session who spent a lot of time having the conversation about how we balance, responding to standards and assessments when we know that relationships are the key ingredient to making instruction successful. And I am so excited that there are so many folks out there who believe that that is the number one way to make an impact in their students' lives, is to build relationships. So that was a lot of fun and very inspiring for me. So that was Monday and Pryor. And again, just thank you for all of those folks. Jennifer and I are trying to make sure that you have all of those resources. And I would expect that the presentations will be online very shortly. And other than that, believe it or not, I am spending most of my time working on leadership, and we're making sure that everything is good for those folks this weekend. And I'm supporting a little bit of what Sonia Fitzgerald is doing in assessment. She's really working hard to get you guys some good resources. And I mentioned this before, but you should have blueprints, calculator policies, the distribution of the standards across the high school math courses. All that stuff is going to come out by the end of January, even though most of those things that have already been made available, we're going to kind of formalize it, and I think that'll be really good. We also have, we had a couple announcements last week that I've talked about, but, just reiterating the point, if you have 7th or 8th graders, or any middle school student for that matter, who is taking an advanced course in middle school where they're getting high school credit for math, they no longer have to double test. So this is really exciting news. We're still exploring some of those implications, but folks, It really does, appear that it is only minimally impacting A through F scores. So I know there's a lot of concern about that, but there are some really great bloggers out there who have explored that, and we've talked an awful lot about it here. And we just want to make sure that folks are making the right decisions for their students. And I'm happy to talk with any of you about that strategy. So that's just really exciting news. And I just can't tell you how happy I am about it. So, and I know Jennifer is getting awfully close to having the pre-kindergarten standards ready. So again, if you are not coming to our REACH regionals, you may not, as an elementary teacher, you may not know this, but she is doing focus groups there where teachers are getting to look at the pre-K standards and check them out. So we do want everybody's feedback, so please find us. I suppose we'll just get to the point then. We have another fantastic Friday roundup coming this week from Talena Norfar from Oklahoma City. And I interviewed her, and she just is so knowledgeable about technology and so willing to help. She's just an amazing person. She teaches in Oklahoma City Public Schools, and you'll hear a little bit more about her in the podcast. But I really hope that you guys enjoy her blog post and this little interview that I have with her. And until next time, have a fantastic week and make a difference in those kids' lives.
So my name is Talena Norfar. I teach Algebra 2 at Northwest Classen High School this year. In the past, I've taught Algebra 1, Algebra 3, Stat, Geometry, Pre-Algebra, and just all levels of mathematics except calculus. And so I've been in the Oklahoma City Public School District for about 9 years now. And wow. I love it. I love teaching. I love high school students. I love everything about it.
Wow, that's awesome. So, you know, I taught at U.S. Grant. I think we missed each other by a year, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was at U.S. Grant as well, and I love that place. So, well, you know, so you are actually a member of our OKMathTeachers.com steering committee, which, as I've told you many times before, I appreciate your effort in that. And so you wrote a really fantastic blog post for this Friday's weekly roundup. Will you just tell me briefly about your blog post and then we'll get to the questions?
Oh, yeah. Well, one of as a part of the steering committee, I lead up the technology side. And so one of the things when I was thinking about writing this particular blog post is what is sort of the first essential technology for a mathematics classroom. And without a doubt, I immediately said clickers. Remote response systems is the ultimate top on my list. Often teachers ask me, because I do tech integration a lot, I was like, well, if you could have only one or two things, what would you have? I was like, I would have a laptop and clickers. I wouldn't have a projector over it. I wouldn't have any other tool, even calculators. I would have clickers before anything else.
Wow.
And so,
wow.
Of course, they immediately are like, why? Why would you want that so bad? And so,
okay, that's exactly my first question. Why are the clickers?
Yeah, so it's one of those things, and math is one of those subjects to me that if a person doesn't get it, they can be so stuck for the rest of the time. It's like this whole logic moment when a kid doesn't get this one particular aspect of a step or a process or a concept. It's just completely on lock mode. And so, mm-hmm. and they don't have always the assistance at home for someone to help build out that understanding. And so the classroom time is so precious. So clickers allow you to quickly know who's stuck, where they're stuck, why they're stuck, so that you can immediately change your direction. Before I had clickers, I know many teachers are having this situation too, where they're looking at a bunch of papers. And after about the fifth or sixth one, everybody starts looking the same. And if you're even looking the same day, at most, you may be able to give them feedback or change direction the next day. And when I got my clickers after my second year of teaching, I noticed how quickly, within a second, it gave me my report after the kids answered. And I could see exactly who needed my assistance for the next 10 or 15 minutes, who was okay to keep going without my assistance. Who may still even be on the teeter-totter and may need a little bit more guidance. I mean, it's just such an immediate change in the way you can teach when you have those.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, it sounds like I love the three things that you said, who's stuck, you know, where they're stuck, and why they're stuck. I mean, that's an amazingly powerful set of questions for a teacher to be able to gather data on that instantaneously and then be responsive in their classroom to that new information. Wow, I could see that being really powerful. So I love, I think the part of your post that I really enjoyed is that, you know, whenever you very first were learning about them, I think what you said is you were just looking at your colleague and just, you kept on saying something like, really? Like you were just like befuddled by it, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. It was so surreal. I mean, every time and it was e-instruction that I was first introduced to, every time Ron would end up showing one thing, I was like, it could do that? It could do that,
yeah.
Too? And so we finally said we got to stop hitting each other because we're going to be hurt. We just got to get some. We were like, how can we get some? We were immediately like, what can we do? And Grant was immediately my first step because we didn't have enough school funds to be able to fund it. So I started writing local, especially in Oklahoma, there's a lot of local grants between OG&E, does a grant every year. Cox Communications gives out grants to teachers. And so there's so much local grants that you can take advantage of and get you started on getting your first set of classroom clickers.
Wow. So, yeah, you know, whenever I was at, speaking of grants, when I was at U.S. Grant, we did a couple of trainings where Oklahoma City, as you know, has the great support of the Oklahoma City Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Their grants are amazing. They have all sorts of different types of grants that you can do. And let me tell you, every single person that we went through, we did just a really basic how to write a grant training. every person that came to that training with me wrote their and wrote their grant, I should say, got the money for the grant, because there just aren't, you know, it's not a saturated process. I mean, there is grant money every year that's just being unused.
Oh, and, yeah. And that's what's so awesome about it, is that 90% of the time you'll get a yes from a localized grant than you do if you try to, try for Toshiba, where there's a lot more competition. It's just a phenomenal. And yeah, if you're in Oklahoma City Public School District, you even have another layer built inside with the foundation with the Great Ideas Grant. So that's
awesome. The Great Ideas.
And sometimes other districts have that as well, where they have an alumni network or they have a business partnership that they can tap into.
Okay. You know, Ron Clark. He was speaking at last year's Vision 2020. Did you happen to see him talk last year?
I did not, but I've seen him before in previous years. He is phenomenal.
He was amazing. I think, he's you know, of course, very enthusiastic, about all things education. But I think one of the things that he said is he was just talking about how he was able to raise money for his class to go to D.C. And he said he basically asked every single person, because what he found is that as soon as he could tell people maybe kind of what the how it was going to impact the students, if he could give them like a real life example of that, he said, you know, by and large, they wanted to give money to him, and mm-hmm. they just needed an excuse. And so he just said, you know, what's the worst that can happen? They can tell you no, and then you're at least, you know, with a little more experience on how to ask people, you haven't
mm-hmm.
really lost money.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just thought, man, you know, that's exactly right. So many people are out there, surprisingly, so many people are out there just waiting to give money. They just need to be asked for it. And they need to know how it's going to impact the students.
True.
So – all right. Well, I think that's maybe the next big thing, because that's what I was asking. You know, as I read your post, I'm thinking, man, I want to check out each one of these, because I used e-instruction as well whenever I was in Oklahoma City, and I thought it was really powerful. But I love how you just kind of presented what the other options were. But my question now is what should a teacher do right now to make sure that they can move toward the place where they can actually get this money?
Well, like you just said, look at all of your options. Do not write anything off. Friends, family, grants, local community partnerships. All of those are seeds to start laying the groundwork for you to be able to get the money to have them. Typically, on the lowest end, you're still looking at around $2,000 for a set of clickers with any company. Which is a great deal, because they last you forever. I've had still the same clickers for the last 8 years. So you can keep them for a long time, and it's well worth the return. So start there. And then once you get that and you purchase your set of clickers, all of the ones that I recommended have a phenomenal training aspect to it. They will come out. They will help you. They will walk you through getting you started on how to use them. That was my sort of next thing of what makes me really love a particular company or a particular set of technology. Are they within a great price range that's not too exorbitant, but how well do the company help you learn how to use their tool? And so all of those listed are really, really helpful in helping you. They have webinars, they have online tutorials, they have sales representatives that will come out. Like instruction, we have these iPads and we're getting the I-360 on them, and they have been Butch has come out twice already to walk us through how to actually set it up and use it. So that's phenomenal, especially for a teacher who may be a little shy with technology or feeling a little bit uncomfortable about it. They have great training support, I just found out we got approval for TI Inspire training in the summer at Northwest Classen High School. So in the second week of June, for 3 days, you can get training on getting started, a basic introduction to the TI Inspire calculator.
Wow. You know, I think I heard that Jinx is going to be doing something like that this summer as well. So, that's an amazing opportunity to get trained on TI Inspire. Even if you don't have TI Inspire, it's worth seeing what it's about, because it will definitely inspire you to, pun intended, I'll say. It'll definitely inspire you to think about the way that, you know, students can interact with mathematical data and really engage in some of those practices. Well, Talena, I know that you have a class and you have other things going on. So thank you so much for your time and your information. I think you've made it sound very attractive and pretty simple, really, for a teacher to go about doing this. So do you have any last words or comments on this whole thing?
Yeah, I would definitely encourage people, if they have any questions, comments in the OK Math blog, and I'd be happy to respond.
I'll
check it all the time, and so they'll be able to get a response back from me pretty quickly. And I encourage them to do that on any of the polls. Just as they have questions, just keep that dialogue going.
Wonderful. And if they even have, maybe they know some other resources that are out there, they can post them in the comment section as well for other folks.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, Talena, thank you so much for your time, your effort, and your energy. I really do appreciate everything you do for us.
Oh, thank you so much.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you later. And for all the OK Math teachers out there, keep doing good things and visit our site often and let me know if you have any questions.
You're listening to the Oklahoma Math Podcast.